Waymaker. You are the promise keeper. You are light in darkness. You are our hope of glory. You are the one who's mending hearts even right now. You are the one that's touching lives. Oh God, and you're turning everything around. And God, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for your sweet spirit that rests, rules, and abides with us. Thank you that you didn't leave us comfortless. Thank you that you forgave us of our sins, past, present, and future. Thank you that you redeemed us by your blood. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being the one and true living God. Oh God, there's no one that compares to you. Oh God, they can search all over it, but find nobody that can compare to you, oh God. So God, with the fruit of our lips, we give you praise. With the lifting of our hands, we tell you thank you. With the way I live our lifestyle, we'll remind the world that you are the one who saves us to the utmost. And God, we thank you. We thank you that you make everything that we go through work together for our good. So God, as you've given us just these few moments here in this service, oh God, anoint this lips of clay, oh God. Remove me out of the way. Let them hear and see you, Jesus. Oh God, for your glory, God, we'll do anything. God, we just want to be where you are. We want to be in your presence, oh God. Oh God, we want your peace, your joy, your liberty, oh God. So God, fill us even the more. Where we're weak, oh God, strengthen us. Mama Sonia, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, heal her body. Oh God, touch her, oh God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. God, nothing is too hard for you. And God, you'll cause everything to line up the way it should, oh God. Give her the victory, oh God, because you're the God who works miracles. And God, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that is here under the sound of my voice. Thank you for those watching virtually, oh God. Move in the midst of them even now. Oh God, won't you give someone the testimony on today that it was this day that they surrendered their all to you. It was this day that they got the news that they needed. It was this day that it turned around, oh God. Make it be this day, oh God. Every youth and young adult, God, everyone that's on our hearts, oh God, have your way. Oh God, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, oh Lord, for you are my strength. Hallelujah. You are my strength. Oh God, when I'm weak, God, you're my strength, oh God. When I feel like giving up, God, you're the one that tells me to keep going, oh God. God, you've been my shield in glory. And God, you are my lifter of my head. So I thank you now, God. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for who you are in my life. Oh God, so continue to have your way. Bless us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have your seats in the presence of the most high and true living God. Isn't it an honor to be in his presence? Isn't it an honor to be in his presence? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In prayer this morning on the prayer line, I say, God, I thank you that I know who you are. God, I thank you that I have a relationship with you. God, I thank you that I can recognize you moving in my life. God, I thank you, oh God. I thank you for everything. Sometimes we're running late to something and we'll see something on the highway and it just happened a few moments when we wanted to be on the road and he kept us from danger seen and unseen. God, we want to tell you thank you. Hallelujah. There's so many reasons to give God glory. And you know, in so much in our reading and in the Bible studies that the Lord has blessed me to be a part of, I was just, you know, I said, okay, Lord, you want me to talk about this one? And he woke me up early one morning and settled me. He said, all things. Question. Yes, all things. And he began to help me to understand, because every now and then, if we just be realistic and be human for a moment, we question the things that happen in our life. If you don't question who you might be on your way home after this. I don't know, because you know, if you ain't got no questions, it's going to see glory today. Okay, I miss you. I promise you I will, but I got questions. Oh, I be having questions. But I thank God that I serve a God who answers. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So many put donuts and coins in front of their God And they just go stale, and the money goes to some little kid that wants to take it for themselves. But I thank God that when I pray and I ask the Lord, he hears me and he responds in his time, in his way. And I'm thankful for it. So we don't have a litany of scriptures, but I have a little thought I want to share with you. We're going to look in Romans 8, 28, verses 28 through 30. And it reads like this in the NIV first. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. All things.
Amen. Amen.
That thing?
That's it.
All things.
All right.
Losing? All things.
Jesus.
Job market? All things. The pain that you might be feeling in your body? All things.
All right.
The hurt and the betrayal? All things. When Yes Amen was first formed over at 2802 South Milliken, which no longer exists at the moment, they tore all that building down. But I'm grateful that even though they tore down the building, the church, the movement still moves on. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm grateful that I serve a God who's not relegated by a 4x4, 10x10, and nothing like that. He's all within. And I'm grateful for that. But when Yes Amen was first developed or created with the young adults over at 3P's and special Nene, Adrian and Sonia Tavita Sapati and Megan and Maggie, we and Lauren, we were doing Yes Amen, and I would always finish our lesson no matter where we were. Know that all things are working together for your good. Because you, I would say, you know, I would quote the scripture, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Then I would ask them, do you love God? They would say, yes. I said, well, then you called according to his. Listen, if you love him, it's because he showed you who he is and why you should love him. You don't love someone without knowing them. Okay, let me be enlightened, maybe a little more specific. It is impossible to truly love someone without knowing them. I love Denzel Washington, the actor. I don't know Denzel Washington, the husband, the father, the man. I don't know him. That's Pauletta and them kids' job, to know him. I know him on the big screen. So you'll see me there when Equalizer 3 comes out. Why? Because I love Denzel, the actor. Right? Because he showed me through Glory, through Man on Fire, through Train, all them, even Train Day. I was mad at them then, but I loved them anyway. Malcolm X, Devil in the Blue Dress, right? Because he showed me his skills. Hallelujah. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So when you say that you love God, it's because he showed you who he is, how great he is. And that's why you say, I want to love on him. I love God. I love him more than, I mean, any and everyone in my life. And I love my mother and father to death.
Yeah.
My sisters, whether blood or through love. The young people, you know, the people that God has blessed to be in my life. Significant other, man, I love. But oh, God is so much better. He's there when nobody else is. He understands when nobody else can comprehend. He hears when ain't nobody else listening. God, I thank you because you showed me that you love me. So then I can, when I'm going through and I ask, all things?
All things.
His response is yes, all things. Well, let's kind of look at this. And I have a few people that we can examine that might have had the same question that I did. I'm pretty sure Abraham felt a way when he was journeying through trying to find the land that God would give him. The decisions he made along the way weren't always the best, but somewhere along the line, I believe he understood all things. Even the situation between Hagar that he jumped at, by the way, just want to let you know, it didn't take much convincing according to the word. It was just a little suggestion and he went right on in. But the implications that are still being felt generationally so much time after, but all things. Isaac, the son of promise, was scared like his daddy, lied to the same Abimelech that his daddy lied to. All things, oh yeah, all things are still going to work together for good because God has promised. And what God promises comes to pass. Of course, we look at Jacob, and you can't talk about Jacob without Esau. That was a tough life between them two brothers. I mean, they was like oil and vinegar. I mean, even though it's good on a sandwich, it together on its own, you just don't want to have it. But Jacob was afraid of Esau, rightfully so. You lied, you stole, you messed up. Man, yeah, your brother want to kill you. Laban did you dirty. Yeah. And then, you know, gave you the tender-eyed wife the first time and you had to work a little bit longer that week and get the other one and had to work an additional 7 years after that. Man, all things. God blessed. And, you know, I was reading in scripture the other day. Kendrick and I was reading the scripture the other day. I didn't see this before, but the scripture says that God remembered Rachel. All right. While everybody else was popping out kids like popcorn, God remembered Rachel and her. She named him Joseph because God had heard her and blessed. That's a blessing. But Jacob had a situation because he still had a lying problem. He still was a trickster. And, you know, he wanted, but God had promised he got a chance to meet the Lord over at Bethel. And he says, surely the Lord is here.
That's right.
So along his journey, along his mistakes he made, God was still with him because God promised his grandfather what he would do through the generations. And whatever God says is true. Mm-hmm. You could take that to the bank.
Amen.
Jacob has some sons, 12 to be exact. And Joseph, he loved because that was the firstborn from his beautiful wife, Rachel. Even though he had at least 7 before that, he had a good love for Rachel. Well, he favored Joseph so much that Joseph's brothers began to hate Joseph. Y'all know the story. And Joseph had to end up getting sold. And it was Reuben's idea to sell him to the Egyptians after they threw him in the pit. Man, you need to sell him off. Here's some marauders coming. Go on and sell him to these folks. But it was so great about that is that even though he went from being in a pit to being sold into slavery, then being placed in the palace working with the Pharaoh and then being lied on by the Pharaoh's wife and being put back into a prison for some odd years, at least was it 18 years he was in that prison? They forgot it, but God remembered Joseph. And if I think about Joseph, I'm pretty sure if you look over in Genesis, if you start reading from Genesis 12 all the way through, you'll see the same people who I'm talking about. When we look at Joseph's life, he was in that prison. And all I'm pretty sure he was wondering, all things? My brothers hated me. My dad thinks I'm dead. Ain't seen my little brother Simeon.
Benjamin.
I wouldn't know it was an Emma. Thank you, Dad. They had some names back there. Boy, I tell you. We think we got some names now. Well, at least those names had meanings. I don't know. We just be putting stuff together. I'm like, okay. But nevertheless, all things. And it wasn't until the Pharaoh came with a bad dream. And aren't you glad that God speaks to all creation? I am grateful for the gifts and talents that he has put in all of us.
Yes.
And at the appointed time, he knows how to bring the people to us that those gifts be used for his glory, for our benefit, for definitely his glory. They remembered, one remembered because the baker and the butler, one was beheaded. The other one remembered, oh, there's a gentleman I met in prison some time ago. I said, I'll never forget the man. Oops. And he brought him to Pharaoh, and Joseph was able to interpret the dream. Joseph was loved and favored so much by the dad, but experienced the betrayal of his brothers, that when it was time for him to interact with his brothers again, because God has a way of bringing the past to the present. God has a way of setting up a situation for closure to happen, for you to provide forgiveness and receive forgiveness at the same time.
All right.
God has a way of making sure healing is, when we pray and Mama 2 prays this prayer every morning, that healing is the children's bread, her mom, T. Joyce, when we understand that healing doesn't always relate to physical. We so one-dimensional time, we thinking, oh God, heal my headache. God said, I want to heal your heart. I want to heal your mind. I want to heal you from feeling like you got to go there to get what you need. I want you to come to me because you know that I'm able to do all things but fail. So when it comes down to it, over there in Genesis, the chapter is failing me at the moment, but it'll come. But over in Genesis, when he interacts with his brothers for the second time, he begins to let them know that what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Could you imagine you talking to the same ones who hated you so much they wanted you dead? And these are your blood brothers. You got different mamas, but you got the same daddy. If somebody needed a kidney, they could have called you. They wanted you dead at one point. They didn't feel that you were worth living. They were envious of you, but God made it work together for his good. Moses was placed in a basket, held on by pitch, and was sent downstream, only to be raised in a Pharaoh's home and was able to be blessed with his mother and sister next to him. Grew up in knowledge, but yet Moses had a temper problem. Moses killed a man. So you telling me that God can use a murderer?
All right, that's right. Amen.
You telling me that God can use someone with unclean hands? Yes. Because God knows what we shall be, just like he knew who Abraham would be. When he called him, God can use us ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
Amen.
Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12. That had a good report, that believed what the Lord had said, that we are to possess the land. While the 10 didn't want to go in, that we look like grasshoppers to them, and even their food and veggies is bigger than us. But listen, when God has told you, I have given you it, don't you walk it back. It ain't time to tuck tail and run. What God said stands forever. Esther was an orphan. So you telling me he can use somebody that don't have no mom and daddy?
Right.
Yes, he can.
Right.
He specializes in every human condition to meet them with a supernatural power that only he can do.
Amen.
Ruth was a widow. Rahab was a prostitute and had enough faith to hide the men of God over in the city of Jericho. Mary Magdalene was demon possessed. But one day she walked and met the Savior, the one who would not only rid her of these foul and perverse spirits, but that would give her a new name, hallelujah, a new identity that she didn't have to respond. Because you know how we are in life when, you know, you got that one cousin that's on that booger sugar, you know how it is. You don't want to invite them to the cookout. You definitely don't want to bring them over to the house. Watch them. Watch her. You know how we are. We got labels. Oh, you know, that's Jewbug over there just drinking again. You know how we are. But God says, listen, I got something for them. If you just keep giving them Jesus, give them me. Don't give them your criticism, give them me. Don't give them your judgment, give them me. And you might say, well, God, what does that look like? Give them love. Understanding, and sometimes it's just sitting there listening, and you're praying while they're talking, and you're saying, God, work on their behalf, move in their midst, heal their broken heart, God, get to the bottom of it, that they will open their eyes and see that it was you. So we have a couple of moral to the story. The next verse is the Amplified. We're going to read it in the Amplified, because all things all things. If you want to know a little bit more about Joshua and Caleb, go over to the book of Exodus and Numbers. You want to know more about Esther, read the book of Esther. Want to know more about Ruth, read the four chapters of Ruth. If you want to hear about Rahab, you can look over that over in that is in Judges as it relates to Rahab. And Mary Magdalene, you can see her in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. But let's look at the moral of the story here. Amplified says this: we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Let's pause right there. That means he has a plan for my life. Every up and down, every high and every low, every question that I've had, every time the door closed in my face, every time it seemed like it took a little longer for it to happen. Oh, but God, you're working it together for my good. I was talking to someone the other day and I was telling them how much I enjoy teaching over at Moreno Valley College. And my prayer is to become a full-time professor before the age of 40. And I know he's able to do it. Amen. But let me just go in from what I want to say to you all, because I was telling them, I said, you know, it reminds me of when the children of Israel were going through out of Egypt into the promised land, but they had a wilderness experience. After they crossed the Red Sea, there was still a wilderness experience that they had to go through, because God said, I'm gonna take them the long way. Because if I have them go this way, they're gonna meet the Philistines, they're gonna meet the Amorites, the Amalekites, and they're gonna tuck tail and run on back to Pharaoh. Can't have them do that. So I'm going to lead them the long way. But in God's grace and his mercy, in the long way of those 40 years, God blessed them where no shoes were weakened or worn out. The clothes sustained. He was a pillar of fire. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. His presence was with them. And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you know, it kind of makes me feel that God took me the long way in my life. Right. Hallelujah. As a little girl, I wanted to be a lot of things. You know how that is, Samantha. We watching stuff, we playing with dolls, and we want to do all kind of things. When I first was growing up, I wanted to be in law enforcement. But that physical agility, I just knew in my spirit at a young age, that ain't gonna work too well. But you know, Sergeant Hunter and Detective McCall made it look so good on the show. You know, I enjoyed watching that. I loved, before there was a Law and Order, I'm watching Sledgehammer. I'm like, oh, this is cool, you know? I want to be in law enforcement. I want to grill people. Then comes along the medical shows, and now I want to be a doctor. I want to be the one who's telling everything, what ER, I'm Dr. Green and everybody else in between. When I saw Doogie Howser come along, I said, I think I can. But then there was an episode of The Cosby Show. Back in 19, maybe 91, 92, I was a little girl. And she was a guest professor. And she was talking to Claire, and she was so eloquent in her disposition, her manner. She just knew everything, in my opinion, but she read her script real well. And I said, I want to be a professor. Oh, but life happens.
Yes, it does.
Life be happening. I didn't believe in myself enough to go right to college from high school. At C, maybe B average at best. I'm not like Angie, I would tell myself. Angie stayed in the books and didn't care too much for friendships. And I was the opposite. I wanted the friends. I liked the books, but Mary Higgins Clark was my forte, and Truman Capote, and don't get me started on Fabio. But God knew who I would be, even when I didn't know who I was. You get involved in stuff in your teenage years, and that's a blur. It was great enmity in the house of the Perrys. I was doing my own thing. And even though as for them and their house, we are to serve the Lord, I was committed to doing my own thing. And I paid the price for those things. But God saw where I shall be. God knew who I would be when I gave him my yes. He wasn't. He saw the sin. He said, but I still see the yes that's in her soul. I still know my daughter. I know the plans that I have. So I started going. I was a 9-year, maybe 10-year student at a community college. My father told me one day, he said, you'll never get a master's at a JC. The next day I applied for University of Phoenix, and long goes the story, graduated barely with a bachelor's. And didn't feel like getting a master's because I was like, I'm not smart enough. Women and men of God, we got to stop saying what we ain't. All right, and remember who he says that we are.
Amen.
It's not in our own goodness of our own, but it's his spirit that operates on the inside of us.
Yeah.
You might not feel qualified for the job, but he calls the qualified. He qualified the called. A matter of fact, he makes sure that you don't have to be qualified. Just say yes to me and I'll take care of the rest. So let's fast forward. All things. Rejections. Working at Verizon. I said I wanted to be a corporate trainer because teaching has always been in my heart. And the Lord blessed after 4 years for me to become a trainer at Verizon. And I dealt with all the isms and schisms in corporate life. I dealt with so much hatred, but the Lord was with me. Oh, God, thank you that the Lord was with me. I'm just testifying to sharing today. It was just me telling my testimony. God, you've been with me. So every time that a supervisor lied on me, every time they tried to block my promotion, every time my supervisor, Paul Lewandowski, would say that I intimidated him, every time he thought I was going to hit him, I hadn't even thought about hitting him till he said it. Sitting on my hands in meetings because I've always been the minority in the group. Didn't know what to say. I mean, you talking about you're trying to march to somebody else's beat. You're trying to wear what they want you to wear and walk how they want you to walk. They don't want you to talk about Jesus, but that's all you got. Yeah. They want you to kiss rings and stuff, but I bow my knee before my maker. Yeah. And I trust him in everything. Fast forward, I leave Verizon on my own in 2017. But here's the thing. God remembered me all my time in Verizon. And even though I served 13 years at Verizon and 3 years at Niagara, when I got laid off on that June 3rd of 2020, got the notice of layoff, tears welled up in my heart. And all I kept thinking was, you want to be a college professor? So I go right on RCCD, never filled out a CV. What's a curriculum vitae? What's that? What's a diversity statement? I'm Black. And I'm a Christian. Ain't that diverse? Don't write that. It's not diverse. Thank God for AI. But when I tell you, men and women of God, the Lord spoke to me and said, Mount San Jacinto College, in my office at my home. And I went online and I applied, and the job that I work at Mount San Jacinto today is just where I'm at, and it's almost 3 years. But let's keep going. It was at Mount San Jacinto, the long way. It was at Mount San Jacinto that the Lord laid it on some people's heart to start a regional 9 fellowship for interns to get folks to how to teach. And I applied because I said I wanted to work at Moreno Valley College because it's right down the street from my house. And the Lord blessed. Didn't have to call no favors. She told me, she said, they picked you on their own. I said, God did that. Bless me to have a saved, Bible-believing mentor. God did that. So when we go through life, women and men of God, when we go through life and it seems like we're a failure, when it seems like we're not making any trogs or making any tracks in our life, when we feel like we're stuck in the middle, God is working behind the scenes. Yeah. Sometimes I think about it when you go to the pottery place and you got the clay on the wheel. Sometimes it looks like the potter ain't even touching the speed or whatever the gas pedal looks. It doesn't look like he's even doing anything. But what you see on the outside, nothing's moving. But on the inside, it's turning, it's turning, it's turning. He's shaping and he's molding on the inside. So while you might feel like you're stuck, God is shaping and making and turning on the inside. He's blessing you to know that he's still got plans for you. Don't you write yourself off. Because all things, yes, all things work together for the good. Last couple of verses, 29 says, for those whom he foreknew. God knew us before you even knew yourself. Before Kermit was staking out my mama, God knew what he would do between the two of them. God, I thank you. You foreknew, even before that, before Kermit would meet Helen, and they would have their three children, before all of that, before every ancestral line, God saw, he foreknew us, and he knew just what he would do with us, of whom he was aware of and loved beforehand. He loved us because he knew us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you know us, and you still love us? As raggedy, as despicable and deplorable we can be. And if you think that ain't you, it's you. Because we're all filthy rags. Our righteousness is our filthy rags. It ain't us. It ain't no goodness of our own. It's the Christ that lives within us. He knew us and loved us beforehand. He also destined from the beginning. Before ordaining, hallelujah, before any ordination service, before any, hallelujah. When I see Brother David, I talk about your pop all the time. I said, if you knew the man, you would have thought he was walking with Jesus for a long time. Technically, he had a saved wife who sanctified the unsaved husband and brought him to a place where he's lifting up his hands in the sanctuary and teaching and sharing the word of God with men and women across the world. God, we thank you because you foreordained them to be modeled into the image of your son, Jesus, and share inwardly in his likeness that he might become the firstborn of many brethren. Last verse, verse 30 says, and those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Check this out. Acquitted, made righteous, putting them into the right standing with himself. We sing the song, This is Amazing Grace. We couldn't pass the test. We couldn't get an A. So he sent his son Jesus to take the test of life for us. Yeah. And pass with flying colors. So much so the power of sin has been broken. Then we ain't got to be afraid of death in the grave because it's lost its power. It's staying, oh God. God, we thank you for what you've done. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition of state of being. Listen, we got a name over in glory. Hallelujah. My name might not ever get called on no big main stage, and that's all right. You might not ever see me in lights, might not ever have the fame and recognition on this side. But as long when I get to heaven and I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. As long as I hear that. Not even an if, it's a when. When I hear that, Lord, I'm saying thank you. So be of good cheer, men and women of God. Jeremiah 29 and 11 in the Amplified says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He got plans for you. You might not feel like it's happening. Oh, God, I felt like that for so long. But he reminded me, God reminded me, I'm working it out for your good. Because I have great and wonderful plans in my thoughts, plans for your welfare and your peace and not of evil. So when you find yourself having some stinking thinking, as my daddy called it, you find yourself in a dark place, you find yourself in a place of despair, Know that the Lord ain't placed you there. You got to go and have a little talk with Jesus.
Right.
Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Get that prayer wheel turning. Know that the fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus. He'll make it all right. Let us stand, oh God. Let us stand in this place, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord. We thank you, oh God. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. That all things, hallelujah, the passing of loved ones, all things, the rejection, the divorce, oh God, the death, the burials, oh God, the despairs in life, the insecurities with finances, all things, oh God, all things that we go through, you've already factored it in, Lord. So God, everyone here, whether virtually or in the sanctuary, someone might be feeling that lowness. Hallelujah. Help them to know, oh God, that you are close to the brokenhearted. Oh God, and you bind up our wounds. And that even though many are the afflictions of the righteous, you, Lord, deliver us out of them all. God, help us to know that we have been redeemed and we can say so. We don't have to live in this place of being damaged goods, but know that we're in the potter's hand. So God, won't you touch us now? Oh God, touch that mother that's praying for them children and grandchildren. Touch that father, oh God, that feels disconnected from his children. Oh God, touch that daughter, that son that feels unseen and unloved. Oh God, touch them right now, oh God. Help them to know that you have a plan for their life. And your plan is to prosper them, give them hope and a future, to bring them to your expected end, oh God. Oh God, the devil might come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you, God, you said that you came that we might have life and that more abundantly. So God, help us to live, oh God. And for the unsaved, oh God, help them, oh God, touch right now every unsaved heart. Move them to closer to you, oh God. Where they just want to say, Jesus, come into my life today. And God, in that instant, oh God, you make all things better.
Yes,
the situation still might be rough and tough, but you being with us, the songwriter says, having you there makes the difference. Oh God, so God, we thank you that you make a difference in our life. So God, won't you save the unsaved, lift the hung down head, and the one that's been backslidden, bring them back to you, oh God. That sheep that's wandered away, oh God, bring them back to you. Let them know how good it is to be loved by you. Help us not to want to chase nothing and nobody, but want to get closer and closer to you, Jesus. For God, when we're in your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So God, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this time of fellowship, oh God. And we thank you that your word is alive. Oh God, that it doesn't ever fall on dry. Even if it falls on dry, God, you bring somebody to water it around. Oh God, and all the hearts that heard on today is good ground, oh God. And you're going to bring the increase at your appointed time. So God, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessing. Let's give the Lord a hand praise while we're standing for the word of God. Amen. Why don't we go home on this note? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Amen.
Through it all.
You know that. Let's just sing it together.
Through it all.
All things.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. Oh, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong.
Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the word of God on today. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints today, God. We thank God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are glorified. Magnify you, Lord. We bless your name today in the mighty name of Jesus. It's you who have brought us. It's you who have taught us, Lord God. It's you who have made ways out of no way for us. Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship again. We ask you, Lord God, to bless us as we leave this place, but never your presence, oh God. We ask you to touch the saints of God here, there, and everywhere. Let your anointing fall afresh. Help us to continue to humble ourselves before your mighty hand, that you will lift us up in due season. So we bless you, Lord. Look on those who are sick and afflicted, oh God. Those who are in need of a touch from you. Those who desire to hear the joy bells ringing down in their souls again. Oh God, won't you touch today in the name of Jesus. So we bless you. We thank you, Lord. Look on us as we leave this place. Bless the tithe and offering box, Lord, and everything that goes in that box, Lord. That it'll go for the building of your kingdom. We thank you that this is the week that's coming up for the National Day of Prayer. You told us man should always pray and not faint. But God, people, that this Thursday will be looking unto you across this nation and our nation is sick unto death, and you're the cure for sure. So, Father, we're crying out to you. Have mercy, God, in the name of Jesus. So we bless you, we thank you, and all the saints of God together, let us give a resounding amen and hallelujah.